Well, thank you so much, both the worship team as well as our wonderful missions team. That was amazing and a blessing. If you'd open in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, this evening we're going to look at what God says He looks for in women. What's amazing is our culture, as you know, is deconstructing the history and rewriting doctrine and diluting Christ's message, and that just kind of seeps in. And often our expectations and desires and interests and plans, as they revolve around who we really are, sometimes get shaped and squeezed into their shape by the culture around us rather than by the supercultural and changeless Word of God. What's amazing about the Bible is it transcends culture. It is supra-cultural, and it is not bound by history or any one region on earth. It truly is the revelation of an eternal God to us. And so God has given us in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to be in a moment in chapter 14, two different inspired portraits of women. Now, most of us would know the one. In fact, if I ask you what the wonderful role model woman would be, we'd all say it's the Proverbs 31 woman. But did you know what the bad woman is? It's the Proverbs 14 woman. And that's a remarkable contrast that God strikingly puts in between the Proverbs 31 type of woman, who is described as a woman of beauty, of grace, of wisdom, and excellence, and side by side, the Proverbs 14 type of woman, who is described as a woman of immodesty, aggressiveness, and of evil intents. Now, truly, God says that the Proverbs 31 woman builds. And what characterizes her is she builds into the lives of those around her. She's helping the poor. She's taking care of her family. She's encouraging her husband. She is doing all she can, building up those around her for God. And she is humbly beautiful. She's a woman of wisdom. She's elegantly resourceful. But as we'll see, the Proverbs 14 woman tears down. Just people seeing her is destructive to them, and those who get involved with her are the same. She is the antithesis of the excellence and virtue of the Proverbs 31 woman. The Proverbs 14 woman destroys and troubles and is devoid of biblical wisdom. And what's amazing, as we look at Proverbs 14, godly women and godly young ladies who want to learn their manners from the Word of God cultivate the graces that God commends, and as we'll see in our text, avoid and go away from those elements that God dislikes. God wants those who believe His way of being a woman, for them to see that it pleases Him, plus it brings the greatest blessing in life here on earth. And so this evening, as we join the great biblical women of faith who throughout the centuries have pored over the Scriptures, we with them will seek, by God's grace, to live out the truth and the pattern and the plan that He has. And in Proverbs 14, verses 1 through 9, we see the bad choices of those who do not follow or heed or respect God's plan. Proverbs 14, verses 1 through 9. Let's stand together, listen to the voice of God as He speaks through Solomon, and may we heed what He says to us. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is perverse in his ways despises Him. In the mouth of the fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it, but knowledge is easy to him who understands. Verse 7, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. Let's bow before our God. Father in heaven, thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you for not leaving us sitting in the darkness, blindly trying to go through life, unaware of our origin, unaware of our purpose while we're here, and unaware of our destiny. But rather, you have revealed yourself. You have told us that we originated in your image by your direct creative act, and that the purpose we are here is simply to glorify you, and that our destined, lifelong, eternal goal is to be your servant. So I pray that we would realize and tonight embrace that you are the God of wisdom, and you have told us how to live skillfully and how to please you in all that we do. And may we learn that by your grace, through the power of your Spirit, illumining and touching our minds and us consciously choosing to obey. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As you're seated, I'd like to, this evening, talk to you about the power of our choices, the power of little incremental choices we can make in our daily lives. The foolish woman is a destroyer. In chapter 14, verse 1, it says, the wise woman builds up, like the Proverbs 31, but the foolish woman pulls down and destroys. That destroying is reflected, if you turn back to Proverbs 11 and verse 29, because the foolish woman destroys her home, destroys her family, and eventually will ruin her own life. Word by word, person by person, her evil stifles, chokes, and eventually will destroy relationships and the people around her. What is her outcome? Well, Proverbs 11:29, he who brings trouble on his family will inherit only wind, and the fool will be the servant to the wise. It's interesting. Inherit only wind. That's a nice Hebraic, old-fashioned, Old Testament way of saying getting nothing. If you inherit the wind, it means you have something you can't hold on to, something you can't retain, something you cannot keep, something that passes you by. And so truly, this unwise woman inherits the wind. You know, there's one of the best-selling books in American history is called Gone with the Wind. You've probably seen the movie version of it. But that book is a classic description of this verse. In fact, that vivid portrait based on Margaret Mitchell's best-selling, by the way, in 1936, that book began a run that sold 30 million copies. There are few books in America that sold 30 million copies, but Gone with the Wind did. Written in 1936, this novel is about a slice of Southern living. As you know, it's based in the Civil War era, and what's amazing is it just vividly, graphically portrays, in a secular sense, what God spiritually portrays in the book of Proverbs, especially in chapter 11, verse 29 that we're looking at. The themes of the movie are very similar to what we will see if we meditate on God's Word, because the book of Proverbs so much points to the net result of selfish living and the positive, wondrous blessing of sacrificial living. The Southern aristocratic life portrayed by Mitchell in this novel was a life of people nearly oblivious to the world around. It's a life that was vividly selfish and indulgent. As you know, the central character, Scarlett O'Hara, is kind of contrasted all the way through by the simple, unflirtatious, loyal Melanie, her friend. And all the way through, this wonderful contrast is shown. Scarlett is a cunning and crafty woman. She knew what she wanted. She always tried to get it. Her self-centeredness always starkly was contrasted by Melanie's response, her faithfulness, loyalty, even to the end. But just as Solomon, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, contrasts the Proverbs 14 type of selfish, indulgent, and foolish woman to the Proverbs 31, sweet and selfless, wise woman, so we should see in our lives that choices made in the Proverbs 14 style will lead to the same destruction. as Gone with the Wind shows in a secular way. And so the Proverbs 31 style of woman leads to God's endless blessing, because it is God who gives the pattern for godly women. So, God gave us what I like to call a colorful guide to marriage. Now, I don't mean the kind that are getting popular in Christendom. And I don't know if you realize, but we're really an old-fashioned church. One of the largest evangelical churches in the country recently had their pastor do a series on marriage, sitting on the platform in a four-poster bed as he gave a very, very kind of off-color series on sexuality that brought in thousands of visitors. So we're really behind the times here, but actually I don't believe that type of presentation is what we need, nor do we need to attract in people. If they want that, they should go to the movie theaters and see it. They shouldn't come to the church. Because really, God gives an entirely different perspective on what is to be His pattern for godly women. And the colorful guide is describing the results of choices that people make. So, let me show you what I mean. Because the greatest service we can offer the young ladies in our lives, whether they be those in church or in our youth group or right in our very own family, is to show them what will result from little choices they make, even as a young little lady, and how those will play out to the end of their lives if they do not fashion them according to God's Word. And that's why we're looking again, as we saw last week, we looked at the men and what we should pray for men to wait for in their partner. This morning, we're looking for God. This evening, we're looking for what God says we should look for in a young lady. And that little prayer card, the third point, says this: pray that they reflect Christ's love in their relationships by waiting for God's chosen partner. And just as we saw the kind of man not to wait for, the book of Proverbs says this is the kind of woman not to wait for, not to seek after, not to chase after. This type of woman, as it says in chapter 14, verse 1, will tear down any marriage that she's a part of. So basically, God wants mature and spiritual women who will shape younger women around them by knowing, sharing, and praying, and most of all, living the portrait God has made. So this study this evening is not only for the younger ones as what their goal of life shouldn't be and should be, but it's also what the godly, mature, spiritual women should also reflect by their lives. And so, as we turn back now to Proverbs chapter 2, and we're going to just zip through the Proverbs and hit the corresponding New Testament verses, we are going to look at what God says we should avoid and repent of any likeness in our lives. So in other words, this is not only a long-term thing to avoid, but it's also a time for us to examine ourselves. If the world has squeezed us, remember it says in Romans 12 that we are not to be conformed to the world. What that means is pushed into the shape of the world. We as believers must always be exerting pressure outward to not be conformed and squeezed into the world. Why? Because it says if we are, we do not produce for God that which is good and acceptable and pleasing to Him, as we read Romans 12, 1 and 2, but only as we resist conformity, the pressure of the culture and the world around us. So, any of these elements that are in our lives, we should repent of any likeness and say, Lord, I don't want that. By Your grace, remove that. So, bad girls and bad women look and act like this. First of all, Proverbs 2:16, God says, first of all, beware of the immoral woman. There are several types of women that God says just in all ways avoid. 2:16, Proverbs says, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. Keep going to chapter 5 of Proverbs in verse 3, just over the page in my Bible. It says, for the lips of an immoral woman, say the same type, this immoral woman, drip honey. Her mouth is smoother than oil. Now look at verse 20, same chapter. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? Keep going to the next chapter, 7, verse 5. It says this, that they may keep you from the, here she is again, the immoral woman, from the seductress, Notice, again, it takes all the elements in one verse. We find the immoral woman, the seductress, and who flatters with her words. The first element to avoid is the immoral, flattering woman who, the book of Proverbs says, kind of brings in that unsuspecting man into her life. And then, in the eloquence of Proverbs, it says that when he gets involved with her, it's like an arrow in the liver. Now, that's a real vivid, you know, it's such a deadly thing to get involved with the immoral woman. But what positively we can see from this is we should never underestimate the power of words. You notice that this woman offers to a man, long before the immorality, she offers what men so desperately need. They need encouragement. And we'll see a little bit later in the types of women, we're also supposed to watch out for the complaining and the tearing down woman that verbally. And so this immoral woman misuses words. Instead of encouraging, she's a seductress. Second kind of woman God says to avoid, turn back to chapter 6 and look at verse 24 with me, is the evil woman. It says to keep you from the evil woman. And then it says the same thing in verse 24, from the flattering tongue of a seductress, from the woman at work that always tells a man everything he wants to hear, who always says what his wife never says, that you are wonderful and you are handsome and you are strong and you're just so smart. And of course, that man needs to hear that, but he shouldn't be listening to her. She's evil. She's the seductress. Keep going to verse 32 in the same chapter, because there's a third type of woman. In chapter 6, verse 32, God says, not only beware of the immoral woman and the evil woman, but beware of the adulterous woman. Chapter 6, verse 32, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding, and he who does so destroys his own soul. I mean, can any of us forget the look of anguish on the prominent Christian South Carolina governor as he, before the whole nation, was the most recent confession of infidelity? As it says, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. You know what was so amazing for me is to look in, I don't know if it was ABC or CBS, and it showed two pictures of the governor. The governor of whatever his name is of South Carolina, the governor 18 months ago before all this started, and the governor coming home from his rendezvous wherever it was. And if you look at those two pictures side by side, you see verse 32, destroys his own soul. He looked destroyed. Just the angst and the agony. Chapter 30, look at the end of the book of Proverbs, has another word, Proverbs 30 and verse 20, about this adulterous woman. It says, this is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wickedness. It reminds me of the Corinthians. Do you remember how in the book to the Corinthians that Paul says that they had this mantra that meat is for the body and the body is for meat. And so they say that sex is for the body and the body is for sex. They just says, hey, it's just like eating. It's just like, who cares? That's what the adulterous woman is like. She doesn't realize that God says, be not deceived, I'm not mocked. Whoever sins immorally sins against their own body. And God says, we are going to answer to him for the things done in the body. Now, for believers, it's forgiven. And the penalty is put on Christ. But what we don't forget is there is a law called the consequence engine. It has nothing to do with paying for your sin. It's just there is a consequence to every sin that we perform or that we slip into or allow. And immorality has great consequences. You say, well, you know, what if you don't ever get venereal disease? Well, it's not all physical. There's a lot of emotional and spiritual ramifications, God says, of immorality. And so it says, beware of the adulterous woman. Back up to chapter 7 and verse 10, because there is a fourth type of woman that God says we should repent of all inclinations toward, and that is the harlotress woman. It says this, and there a woman met him. Remember this again, I talked about it last week, about how Proverbs is postured of the wise dad standing behind his son and pointing at things and helping the son to see things. And this is an example of looking out at a street corner, and there a woman met this foolish young man. And it says she had the attire of a harlot, and she had a crafty heart. Now, basically, there are three elements in this little 10th verse of chapter 7 that God uses to describe this type of woman to avoid. Number one, there a woman met him. You notice that she's the initiator, she's the seeker, she is aggressive, she is flirtatious, she chases men. Did you know men chasers is not a positive quality? It's funny, it's cute, but it's not right. It's not godly, it's not biblical. And it's not cultural to just say that's just the way women are. Flirtatious, aggressive women do not please God. And that's what the Scriptures say, no matter what the culture says. The second thing about her is, it says that she has the attire of a harlot. You know, there are people that say clothes are neutral. Clothes are not neutral. God invented clothes for one purpose, to cover the body because of sin. And this clearly says that God says that clothing can be portraying harlotry. Now, if you want to know what that means, in every city, there is a place where that's very visible. I remember living in Los Angeles for 5 years with Bonnie. You could drive down Hollywood Boulevard and you would see the harlots by what they were wearing and what they were doing. And it was so clear. And you know what's so amazing? It was almost the same outfits that we see in a lot of sports activities and cheerleaders and even in dress-up things, that people follow the culture, not thinking that God says, watch out. This woman had the attire of a harlot. She was immodest, she was sensual, she was provocative. And by the way, immodesty, sensuality, and provocation are not godly. A woman should not provoke men to be longing for her body. God says that is something that displeases him. And finally, the third element, not only was she aggressive, she met him, not only was she wearing the attire of a harlot, immodestly and sensual and provocative, but she had a crafty heart. That means she's unspiritual, she's fleshly, she's carnal, she's insensitive to the Holy Spirit. It's like she doesn't even know that her dress is affecting him, or doesn't even care, or even worse, wants it to. Now, you say, is that a quality that a godly woman could have? Well, if you read the book of Corinthians, you see that they did. But if you also read the book of Corinthians, you find that God says that he would not stand for that in believers, and that some of them were weak, and some of them were sick, and some of them were dead because of their immoral behavior. God does not tolerate believers acting like a harlotress woman. Keep going to chapter 9 and verse 13, because here's a fifth type of woman to avoid. God says, beware of loud and foolish women. It says in Proverbs 9:13, the woman folly is loud. She is undisciplined. She is without knowledge. The foolish woman is noisy. She is simple and open to all forms of evil. She is willful and recklessly, knowing nothing whatever of eternal value. That's how the Amplified Bible puts it. I love the Amplified Bible. It makes every verse three times longer than it really is. But I'll read it again. Proverbs 9:13 NIV, the woman of folly is loud, she's undisciplined, she's without knowledge. The Amplified says, the foolish woman is noisy, simple, open to all forms of evil. She willfully and recklessly knows nothing whatsoever of eternal value. God says that is not a virtue. It's not a virtue to be loud and foolish. In fact, when Paul talks in the New Testament epistles, he says, beware of women laden with lust, foolish women who go from house to house gossiping. He says that is not the pattern to follow. It's very interesting that in our culture, the loud and the foolish woman is almost the entertainer type that is idolized. Those who waste their lives, who are loud, who are knowing nothing whatsoever of eternal value. The sixth type of woman is in chapter 11, verse 22. And this is what God says, beware of lovely but indiscreet women. Proverbs 11:22, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. A lovely but indiscreet woman. A woman who is lovely in form but indiscreetly flaunts it. A woman who is lovely in personality and can allure and indiscreetly does so. Very interesting. God says, beware. Beware of being a lovely but indiscreet woman. What a picture. a gold ring in a pig's snout. That's how God sees lovely but indiscreet women. I'm glad He said it. Chapter 14 and verse 1, God says, "Beware the foolish woman. The wise woman builds her house, as we saw a little while ago, but with her own hands the foolish one tears it down." A woman who doesn't apply the wisdom that is from above, that is pure and peaceable and gentle and easily entreated and full of mercy and good fruits, as it says in James, is foolish. And if she does not have the wisdom that is from above, and if her wisdom does not come from God but comes from beneath and is earthly, sensual, and demonic, as James continues, tears down her house, tears down all that she has been blessed of God to have. So the seventh woman God says to beware of is the foolish woman. Chapter 21, if you keep going to the right, is the eighth type of woman. God says, beware of a contentious woman. Remember, I told you that the seductress flatters with her mouth. And it's so interesting that this woman that allured men, more often than sensually, she allures them with her talk, because there's such a need for men to be encouraged. And so this contentious woman is the other end of the spectrum. Proverbs 21:9, it's better to live in the corner of the roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. And part of the Proverbs picture is, if you don't want your husband straying, don't be a contentious woman. Now you say, does it excuse his straying? No. And he will answer to God and will pay the price for what he does in his body. But a quarrelsome woman, the wisest man in the world, inspired by the God of the universe, says, it'd be better to move up on the corner of your roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. That's a warning to be careful of your words. They're so powerful. Keep going to chapter 25 and verse 24. Same thing. Better to live on the corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Isn't it amazing that Solomon repeats himself? He's showing the detrimental long-term power of words. It was so interesting. A week ago, I was on my knees on the bedside of one of our dear saints who's fading and slowly going into eternity, and the family was all gathered around. And it was so sweet. We were having communion, and I was close so she could hear me. And as I was reading, she looked up and she said, "You will never know how much words can touch someone's life." And I thought, with all the tubes and everything that was going on, how impactful the words of the songs that the family were singing, the words of the scripture, and the encouraging words we were speaking, how powerfully to a dying woman those could impact her life. Do you know how powerful our words are? And God says, be careful to not be contentious. Keep going to chapter 27. In verse 15, he says it a third time, a quarrelsome wife. You know what a quarrelsome wife? You know what the word literally means? You cannot ever please them. Nothing is ever enough. Nothing is ever good enough. Nothing is ever right. Nothing is as good as somebody else has. And they're just always quarreling about it. Why did you do this? Why? You know, it's just this. It's very interesting. One of those onomatopoeic words that just sounds like what it is. They just blah, 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 blah. You know, a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. This week, Bonnie and I were sound asleep in this, I don't know what it's called, Mountainside Manor or something like that. It's just a room a friend of ours named. And we were staying at their house. And at about 5:45 in the morning, I heard drip, drip, drip. And I turned my head and I thought, that's not coming from the bathroom. So I went this way and it was coming from not the bathroom. And I thought, that's a bad sign. But I kind of went back to sleep. I thought it would go away. And about 6 o'clock, it was going. And so I got up, and through the ceiling was dripping water from the upstairs, and I thought, this is not good. So I put buckets under all the drips and started walking all around the house trying to figure out these beautiful big house. And it wasn't the washing machine, it wasn't the bathroom, it wasn't the kitchen, until finally I found this little thing they had in the corner that someone had forgot to turn off, and it was just putting out a stream of hot water that was going all the way through that beautiful first floor and down through the thick floor into the basement where we were. It was just running down. You know what I thought about? I thought about how thankful I am that I don't live in a drippy house. Do you know how horrible it is to hear that sound, how it such a small sound wakes you up and you can't go back to sleep, and how it just gets on your nerves till you do anything to make it stop. Proverbs 27:15, a wife who constantly is dropping those little comments is like the dripping on a rainy day. Remember, the people then had sod, they had cross sticks, then they had branches, then they had dirt, then they had grass in the first century and back homes. And those things would be packed down by a roller until they got nice and hard so that they would make it through the rainy season. But if you didn't prepare your thatched roof well enough, in the rainy season, it would start dripping. And it would drive the people crazy. And so they worked really hard not to have drippy roofs. And he says, beware of contentious women. They will drive you to distraction. Here's the last one. Go back to 21:19. Because here's the last type of woman God says to beware of. And then we're going to look at the positive ones real quickly. God says, beware of the angry woman in Proverbs 21:19. It's better to live in a desert. By the way, a desert with scorpions and poisonous snakes and no water and heat that can kill you and everything else. It's better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and an ill-tempered or angry wife. So God says, beware. Beware of angry women and contentious women and foolish women and indiscreet but lovely women and loud and foolish women and harlotrous women. Beware of the evil woman, the adulterous woman, and the immoral woman. But what do good women that please God look like, if those are the ones to avoid? Well, real quickly, let me read them to you. Go back to chapter 7, because part of the way Proverbs is written is God tells us by contrast what not to be, and so we can learn what to be. And first of all, good girls and women look and act like this. A godly and spiritually mature woman will seek to be modest in their dress. It says in Proverbs 17 that the woman that came to meet him dressed like a prostitute with crafty intent in Proverbs 7:10 is negative. So that means the exact opposite would be true of the mature and godly woman. The mature and godly woman would have clothing that points not to her, but to her Father in heaven in His holiness. Remember the words of Paul in the New Testament gallery of beautiful women? Paul emphasizes the beauty of an unseen character. The flesh will always flaunt the body, but God will always beautify the spirit. Remember, Paul wrote to the biggest and most zealously spiritual church of the first century these words, and I read them to you last time, 1 Timothy 2:9. Paul says, I also want the women to dress modestly, with decency, propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but that which characterizes a godly woman. The ungodly woman, Proverbs 7:10, is a woman who is aggressive and is immodest and who has evil intentions. The godly woman, on the other hand, is modest in her dress. She is decent, has propriety, and pleases God. Look at verse 11. Because godly, and this is Proverbs 7:11, godly and spiritually mature women seek to be gentle and quiet in their personality. You see, God says, beware of and avoid at all costs, verse 11, she is loud and defiant, and her feet never stay at home. She's restless, she is unsubmissive, she is unrestrained in her ability to communicate. She is loud and defiant and restlessly never at home. In fact, Proverbs 9:13 says, the woman of folly, in verse 13, is loud. She's undisciplined. She is without knowledge. Godly and spiritually mature women seek to be gentle and quiet in their personalities. Did you know Jesus said that? Matthew 11:28-30. Jesus said, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Jesus was characterized by a quietness. In fact, it says in Jeremiah, the work of righteousness is peace, and the effects of righteousness is quietness and assurance. God says that mature and godly women seek to be gentle and quiet in their personality. What God dislikes includes disrespect, hostility, aggressiveness, and cunningness. All of these qualities are bad news. And Paul goes on to explain to Pastor Timothy how vital this characteristic is of being gentle and quiet. In fact, it says in 2 Timothy 2:24, the Lord's servants must not quarrel. There is not a quarrelsome, combative, in-your-face nature to God's servants. And that's sad that our world sees Christians in that light as the blatant, in-your-face kind. Jesus wasn't that way except with religious hypocrisy. But with sinners, He was never that way. He was gentle in the way He treated them. The servants of the Lord must not quarrel, but instead be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Peter said this in 1 Peter 3. He says in verse 4, "Let it be the hidden person of the heart, the incorruptible beauty." He's talking about women in chapter 3, about wives, 1 Peter 3, 1 through 4. But verse 4 says, "The incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit." And then he adds this, "which is precious in the sight of God." Precious means costly, valuable, desired. It's so amazing to me that God tells every woman what He longs to see. And He longs to see the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Godly and spiritually mature women seek to be gentle and quiet in their personality. Look at verse 13 of Proverbs 7, because here's the next element. A godly and spiritually mature woman seeks to be holy and reverent in her conduct. It says in Proverbs 7:13, "She took hold of him," this aggressive woman. "She kissed him with a brazen face. She said, 'I have fellowship offerings at home. Today I fulfilled my vows.'" She's the wicked, evil woman. She does not have a holy reverence in her conduct. Her life is not restrained by God. She has her religious side. You notice it says, "I have my fellowship offerings, I fulfilled my vows," verse 14. But that's a contrast to the godly woman. She fears the Lord. She seeks His well done over the approval of anyone else on earth. Her fear of God makes her aware of the future, that she is going to answer for her life. She's going to answer for what she did with her body. And she wants so much to be modest in dress, gentle and quiet in her personality, and holy and reverent in her conduct. She knows the consequence of her choices, and a godly woman avoids any present situation that would be destructive to her future usefulness for God. And that's a quality in her life. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, "Do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Conclusion, therefore, honor God with your body." That's what God says. Last one, look at Proverbs 7:21. "This woman that pleases God will seek to be truthful in their speech and in their motives. Because the wicked woman of Proverbs 7:21 that does not please God is like this." Look at verse 21 of Proverbs 7. "With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, as a fool to correction of the stocks." Verse 23, "Till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life." You see, this woman was not truthful in her speech and motives. God says a godly woman is truthful in her speech and motives. Well, what are the absolutes that God says? He says, I want women to reflect the Proverbs 31 type, that are modest, that are truthful, that are honest, that are restrained, and they have a gentle and quiet spirit. What are the attributes of an ungodly young lady in our 21st century terms? And moms and dads, we should think about what we're raising. Did you know we regularly should step back, especially as dads, and look at our daughters and say, what am I raising? Is the young lady who lives in your house heading towards being a wise woman or a foolish one? To find out, just hold your daughter's present direction of life up to the truth of God's Word and see what God says the present direction will end up with if she persists in it. It's not the culture, and it's not their peers, it's not the latest fads, but it's the timeless truths of God's Word that should be our measuring point. God says that there are six attributes, if you boiled all these down in Proverbs, that an ungodly young lady should not have. We should ask, is she materialistic and selfishly wrapped up in her clothes, her suntan, her body, or is she spiritual and learning to deny herself for the Lord, for His ministry, and for others? Is your daughter materialistic? Does she sacrifice for others or only for herself? Secondly, is she loud and assertive and boisterous or whiny? Is she always the center of attention? Or is she quiet, submissive, gentle, and humble? Those are two different trajectories, two different pathways, and they end up in greatly different destinations. Thirdly, does she dress in a provocative way that draws a young man to think about her body and its enticements? Or does he think more of her spirit and her gentle quality? Which is the first thing that hits him? Fourthly, does she have a growing desire to be entertained by watching sinful activities and lifestyles on TV and in the movies as the stars live out their fleshly fantasies? Or does she have a growing desire to be sanctified? Does she have a holy hatred of sin that makes her keep taking steps away from all that? Or is that what's drawing her? Fifthly, does she manipulate others by her tears, her looks, or whatever it takes to accomplish her ends? Or is she submissive to God, her parents, and God's Word? And does she use all of her powers to seek His will or her own way? And finally, is she argumentative? Does she easily quarrel and fight with you or her brothers and sisters? Or is she peaceable, gentle, and easily entreated? If any or all of these six symptoms of a Proverbs 14 type of either spiritually immature or even an unsaved woman are present, to any degree or an amount, the prognosis for the future is bleak. God says, watch out. By God's grace, may every woman and young woman here seek to be a woman like those God commends and describes in His Word. If you've never done this before, why not tell the Lord, I want to be your type of woman after your heart. I want to be modest in my dress, gentle and quiet in my personality, holy and reverent in my conduct, and truthful in my speech and motives. Because God says that's precious in His sight. Let's stand together for a word of prayer before we go tonight. Father, we thank You for the unfading beauty, the incorruptible beauty of the woman that You commend to us. And just as we saw last time in men, who we are in our lives is just the result of a lot of little choices we make. And I pray that if in any way any of these qualities of the Proverbs 14 woman are present to any degree in our lives, that we would repent of them and rather seek those admirable qualities of a woman that is beautiful to You and that possesses those qualities that are precious in Your sight, O God. That's our desire because we belong to You and we want to glorify You with our lives. And I pray we might, by Your grace and for Your glory, in the precious name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. God bless you as you go.